You're listening to another top-rated radio show on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Welcome to the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia, on the USA Talk Radio Network.
Good afternoon. Happy Columbus Day, everybody there. This is Commander Tom Garcia. This is the American Hour. Welcome with us tonight. Thank you for joining us. And we have a special show for you tonight because of things that have been going on in the news and especially on a place called Wall Street. And the title of the show tonight is Occupy Wall Street. If you're familiar, been watching the news, the people that are protesting Wall Street, and there are other protests around the country that our Democrat leaders are fully supportive of, is going on. Occupy Wall Street, the modern-day Animal Farm. Any of you out there that have read the book Animal Farm will know what I'm talking about, but we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Of course, most of those people occupying Wall Street probably can't read or haven't read Animal Farm or wouldn't figure it out. They'd say, Tom, but it's about a bunch of animals. Yeah, well, we'll get to that. In any case, I hope everybody's doing well and having a good Columbus Day weekend. And it's about to come to a close. The kids were out of school and hopefully had a nice weekend. And then we'll be back on the air Wednesday, 7 p.m. same time, with another Hot Topic show. But let me first get into something that's been going on in the news today. And we're going to talk about Pastor Robert Jeffers. And he said that the Mormon religion is a cult, and he didn't want to be a bad guy, and Mitt Romney's a nice guy, but he just had to bring it up. And, of course, he's the guy who recently, I think just yesterday, introduced Governor Perry at a rally and had to bring up the fact that Mormonism is not really a Christian religion. Well, I don't know what planet you're from, Mr. Pastor, but the planet I'm from, let's see, Mormonism is a Christian religion. Now, let's first take a look at the definition of a cult, because he wants to say that they're not a Christian religion. That's step one. Okay, except they believe in Christ, and that's their primary focus of their religious studies is the life of Christ. Now, they study, you know, other books as well, such as the Old Testament. And they have a Book of Mormon. And if you look in the inside cover of a Book of Mormon, it says, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. So Christ is a big part. So to say you're not a Christian, now maybe if they're distorting the teachings of Christ, except from everything I've seen, they're not distorting the teachings of Christ whatsoever. They're teaching the teachings of Christ. So in my book, that would make them Christians, but now he says they're a cult. Well, let's take a look at some of the definitions for cult, and I've gone to dictionary.com, but you can go to Webster, and there's a variety of ways of putting it. But the first definition is a particular system of religious worship, especially with reference to its rites and ceremonies. Oh, my goodness. That sounds like every religion I've ever heard of. I mean, you could form a religion that you would say, we're going to meet over at the church building or my house or whatever, and we're going to discuss, you know, whatever, and then we're going to go home. That's more like a Bible study group. That wouldn't be called a religion. But you could form a religion, and that's all you ever do is Bible study group or religious study group, etc. And then you might not really be a cult because you're not really participating in particular types of rites and ceremonies. Let's take a look at the next definition, an instance of great veneration of a person, ideal, or thing, especially as manifested by a body of admirers. Well, let's see, Christianity, and there's an instance of great veneration for, yes, Jesus Christ. Wow, that makes all of Christianity a cult. So we've got a guy who, I don't know if he's been to school, I don't know if he went to any religious schools or whatever, but he doesn't really seem to understand the definition of cult. See, we've turned the term cult into something that people take as a negative. You know, because we've got some wacko cults out there, like maybe some devil-worshipping cult that wants to, you know, do sacrificial rites on an altar, etc. Okay, so the reality is, using the word cult is a diversionary tactic by this Pastor Jeffers. And I would say if Governor Perry doesn't distance himself, not just simply say, no, I don't believe that Mormons are a cult, but say, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with this guy and the rest of my campaign because he's crossed the line. then he's really on board with that. So, you know, even Obama, who spent 20 years going to church with Reverend Wright, distanced himself, which is kind of hard to understand. Well, it was all political, but he certainly believed what was being preached in that church, which was a racist, anti-Semitic church, and it's based on black liberation theology. Go look up black liberation theology. I've read the book by its founder, which Reverend Wright said was his mentor, and that's an absolute distortion of Christianity, and really, quite honestly, an abomination of Christianity, black liberation theology. But go take a look at it. You can look it up yourself. But back to the Mormons. Everybody I've seen today talking on the news, pundits, even, you know, liberal stations like CNN and MSNBC, say, well, Mormons are good people, and they're, you know, really a nice family-oriented religion, et cetera, blah, 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 and they kind of dance around a little bit. Herman Cain, I think, had the best statement. He said, I'm not running for theologian-in-chief. In other words, this is about saving our country, and not that religion doesn't play a part in that, but it's not the litmus test for who we should be voting for unless somebody themselves is some kind of a racist or bigot or been involved in some things that just are immorally incorrect. And nobody can say that about Mitt Romney, and certainly not the Mormon religion. So when we have buffoons like this, yes, Pastor Robert Jeffers, you are a buffoon, and you're creating some headlines, and of course that's got to happen because we've got to find any way to discredit Mitt Romney that we can. Now, with that said, it may sound like I'm defending Mitt Romney, and I am, in terms of his religion. And I'm going to defend one other thing about his Romney care in Massachusetts. Make a point there. But I want to make an official announcement that I, the American Hour radio show, is officially endorsing Herman Cain for president. Yes, we are officially endorsing Herman Cain. We'll have supporters on here and other people, and anybody can call in and talk about Mr. Cain and his candidacy. But the bottom line is, I am endorsing him. I am not going to wait on the sidelines, on the fence, like a lot of people do, and hem and haw and wait until, somebody is a clear, clear winner. And a lot of organizations, unfortunately, oh, we can't get involved in the primary. Oh, we can't. Okay, well, you guys sit on the sidelines and observe while the masses choose our next Republican nominee. I'm not going to do that. And I'm not a nonprofit organization, et cetera. I'm just who I am, and this radio show is just what it is. It's a radio show, and we are officially endorsing Herman Cain for the nomination to the Republican Party U.S. presidency. Now, with that all said, let's get back to Mr. Romney. There's a lot of misunderstanding about Romney care. I'm not defending Romney care, but you know that this show is about the Constitution. And we need to understand the Constitution and the rule of law and the limits of law within our nation. You may not like it, then fine. Go work on changing the law, get elected, do whatever you want, propose amendments to the Constitution. But the bottom line is we have law right now to live within. If you don't like it, that's fine. That's your opinion. But we do have law. And under the rule of law and under the Constitution, the states have the authority to create mandates, whether it be health care, driver's insurance, homeowner's insurance, and on and on and on. Take a look at the Tenth Amendment if you're not sure what I'm talking about. But we have, in the state, in any given state, the authority to do things that the federal government does not. So, Romney Care was not the same kind of animal as Obamacare. It was not as far-reaching. It wasn't a 2,000-page document. It did not take away anybody's liberty or freedom, and it did not have the kind of mandates. Now, let's talk about mandates. In the state of Florida here, we have 44 government mandates, state mandates on our private health care insurance. There's nothing new about mandates on health care insurance and health care within any of the 50 states, or unless you're Obama, 57 states. But we don't have any mandates. So the federal government, though, on the other hand, does not have the authority to tell you to do something, to engage in an activity. So that's the bottom line with Romney Care. Now, we're going to take a quick break here. It's going to be a short show. Take a quick break. I'm going to play an ad here for my favorite veterans charity, and I'll be right back in about 60 seconds. National Veterans Homeless Support, or NVHS, was formed by veterans for the sole purpose of locating and assisting the more than 4,500 homeless veterans living in the parks, forests, and streets of Central Florida. Their mission is clearly defined: to eliminate homelessness among veterans in Central Florida.
and they work very hard to accomplish this mission. They offer a very unique service to the community in that they are the only organization that goes out into the field, searching for the veterans, providing supplies where they find them, and working with other organizations to get them out of the woods and back into society. If you go to their website, it's located at nvhs.us, and you can also find them on Facebook. Their Veterans Resources link on their webpage is worth its weight in gold, so please go check out the website, and if you're able, make a donation. They do a very, very valuable service to the veterans of Central Florida, and we'd like to expand this and see it expand to the rest of the country.
All right, we're back now. That's my favorite veterans charity organization, National Veterans Homeless Support. You can go. We'll find them at nvhs.us. Take a look at them. They're on Facebook as well. They got a lot of followers, and check them out, please, if you get a chance. Even if it's just to put a comment or, discuss things on Facebook with their group and see what's going on. If you happen to live in Central Florida, that's where they're based. They're reaching out across all of Florida, and we hope to make their efforts, which have been fantastic in Central Florida, something that can reach statewide and then eventually reach nationwide. Okay, we've got a Dr. Kaufman on here. Now, we were going to have him on a previous show. It didn't work out, but he's familiar with Agenda 21 as well as global warming, and that's near and dear to my heart, the global warming issue. But tell us a little bit about yourself, Dr. Kaufman.
Well, actually, I'm a scientist. I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and climate change. I've been involved in research science for about 25 years when I was leading a multi-million dollar research effort on global warming and acid rain and realized there was a serious agenda out there. That was in the early 1990s. The Clean Air Act was reauthorized, about $35 million of research the federal government sponsored, another $5 or $10 million that we sponsored showed that really this whole issue with acid rain and global climate change was overblown, and yet we had a Clean Air Reauthorization Act that was right out of the Twilight Zone. It had nothing to do with the science, and I quit my job. I tried to tell people, warn people what was going on, that science was being abused, and that's where we are right now. We have been very successful in getting the information out on global warming. Most Americans no longer believe it was the threat that we once thought it was 20 years ago. And hopefully sanity is going to gradually come back into the equation. But with these huge agendas out there, it is making it very difficult because there is no longer any science. And I can say this very honestly, there's no science out there right now, empirical science, that really highlights that man is causing global warming. There is none, and yet you hear on the news almost every day where we've got to stop global warming or we're going to destroy the planet and us along with it.
Well, you know, and we've done shows on this in the past where I've done, entire shows myself, and I'm no scientist, but I like to think that I am smart enough, you know, I have an engineering degree from the United States Naval Academy. I realize that's not huge, but I've done a lot of reading on this over the years, and not just recently, but over the years. And we had Jack Cassell on here who wrote a book called Cold Sun. I don't know if you've seen his book or you've ever read
it. I've been on the platform with him many times speaking to different organizations.
Yeah, now his theory, and this is based on empirical data that he's looked at, and he's starting to get some other organizations that are agreeing with him on this, that we're in for a cooling period coming here.
Yeah.
It's something that is in about a 200 or so year cycle, and based on, past, I realize we didn't have NASA 800 years ago, but there are lots of ways that we can see what the temperature was or approximate that, hundreds of years ago, if not thousands of years ago. But just to kind of go on one thing that I think says it all, and when I have this discussion with somebody about global warming, I ask the average person that doesn't really know much, I say to them, how many ice ages have we had in the last 1 million years based on Al Gore's ice core samples from the Antarctica? Based on that, and there are other things that we look at to determine the ice ages, but they have no clue. And the only reason that I went looking for this data was, several years ago when that first Ice Age cartoon movie came out, I thought, hey, I wonder how many ice ages we've had over the history of the planet. And I don't think we have any idea over the history of the planet, but based on those ice core samples, we have a pretty good idea of just the last million years, and it's about 8 different ice ages in varying intensity and size. But the reality is,
over the course of the last million years, our planet has been cold and frozen a lot more than it's been warm and tropical like right now.
Absolutely. There's no question of that. And I do believe we're heading into a new cooling period. It's probably going to last at least 30 years, if not more.
And that's what Jack Cassell was telling us. And
yes,
it's going to be
absolutely
not necessarily the beginning of an ice age, but certainly a strong cooling period that's really going to change the dynamic of crop and food production in the U.S., and actually the whole world.
We're actually hoping it'll be similar to the one we had between 1945 and 1979, where it dropped about a degree during that period of time. Caused a lot of problems, but not too serious. The last major one was called the Little Ice Age, was about 300 years ago, and that really caused major, major problems, crop failures in Europe, major outbreaks and plagues and disease and so forth, massive starvation. It was really serious. It's better to have global warming than global cooling.
Oh, yeah. And that's the truth because, you know, we have a more tropical planet. There's a lot more life, plants, availability of food, et cetera. And this idea that we're going to burn the planet up, it's not going to happen. And I just saw a report the other day. I saw a lot of people disputing it, so I went and looked for it. And I found it at the NASA website that heat from the planet is giving off via, I believe, some form of radiation, radiation into outer space. You know, the thought, I guess, at one point was that it was sort of like being in a bubble and no heat could escape. But NASA is now saying their measurements are showing that heat is escaping a lot faster than we thought before. So the planet has the ability, and this was the other interesting thing, it sort of cycles. So if the planet's getting kind of warm, it can let some extra heat off. And then if it's getting a little cooler, it can try and trap some heat in. And the planet is sort of a living, breathing thing of its own and can regulate its own temperature as it decides it wants to.
Yeah, there's a raging debate right now in the scientific community because research is now showing that we are losing more heat than was projected. And the whole point of the man-caused global warming is that we're trapping heat. We're keeping it there longer than it should, and we're finding it's actually escaping faster than we thought it should. So we're having a regulating effect where as the Earth warms, and it did during the 1975 to about 2000 period, we're now seeing that is being lost, and it's now starting to reverse itself because the sun is becoming inactive. And once that happens, it's not the total intensity from the sun, but the type of radiation from the sun, the solar storms, the solar flares, the coronal mass ejections, they have an interaction with what's called cosmic radiation that causes either more clouds to form or less clouds to form, and that is what's causing the Earth to either warm or cool. And that's directly correlated, in turn, with the ability of the Earth to release heat or trap heat.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, it just seems to me from what I've researched, and I'm a commercial airline pilot. I fly international. When I fly from Miami all the way to Madrid and just see, you know, 9 hours flying over nothing but water, our planet is huge, massive. And to think that we somehow, I think it's vain to think that we can somehow, short of popping off a bunch of nuclear weapons, that we can somehow regulate the climate.
It really is. When you really start to think about it, what most people don't recognize, Tom, is that every scientist, this is not something that's debated between scientists at all, this is commonly accepted by scientists, it's not the carbon dioxide that causes the warming that they're causing, they're saying is man-caused global warming. Carbon dioxide is merely the catalyst that changes then the cloud cover, which causes the warming or so forth. And we have shown very clearly in a research paper just released in July that it's not holding, those clouds are not being formed that hold the heat. More heat is being escaping than we thought should be. Therefore, the maximum that we can see in CO2 warming is about a half a degree, which is really non-significant.
Right. Well, I've said this on the show before, and I'm going to say it again, that can you imagine in 10 or 15 years if we really tried greening our country, this whole green concept, which, I'm all for that. If you could come up with some form like wind and solar that provides energy and it doesn't really cost you anything, except we're finding it does, but it doesn't cost you anything, hey, that's kind of cool. But can you imagine 10, 15, 20 years from now, us looking at each other, driving around in our electric cars with windmills in our front yards and solar panels on the roof and saying, boy, we should have kept
protect all those SUVs and Hummers because it's cold. The planet's cooling. And our kids asking us, or our grandkids, hey, Grandpa, how come you were so intent on cooling the planet and it's cooling itself, and now it's a little too cold? You should have kept all those fossil fuels around. I mean, it would be kind of ironic to hear that. Not that we're going to, but
it really is.
It really is. It's ridiculous to think, again, that we are somehow in control here. And as you pointed out, that period up through 79 that was a cooling period, I remember, I think it was Newsweek magazine came out with an article called the impending or approaching ice age or such thing, because they were predicting that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean,
that was the headlines.
Well, first of all, there are going to be all kinds of cycles in a 50-year, 100-year, 200-year period. But the reality is, if you look at the big picture, the 10, 100,000-year period, there are much bigger cycles that are going to occur. And we can't, number one, control them, but we're going to be long, long gone. But in any case, now, Dr. Michael Kaufman is who we're talking to here. And I understand that you recently came out with a book called Rescuing a Broken America?
Yes, right.
Tell us about that.
It's been out of... Well, basically, I was taking a look at what was happening. I had written this book in the early 2000s, but it was 1,000 pages long. Who wants to read a 1,000-page book? And it was very cumbersome, and things weren't happening. But everything that I predicted back in 2000 was happening now, back in a year or so ago. And so I condensed it all down, wrote this book, helping people to understand why we're having the bitter division that we're having in this country. Is because we have two warring worldviews. And folks, I'll tell you this right now, if we don't solve this problem in this 2012 election, we're going to change this nation in a way that it will not be possible to ever bring it back to a constitutional Republican form of government that we established 230 years ago. It is that serious. And once you understand that there is this deep division and what's driving it, what needs to be done to be able to correct it. And I just said part of it was to get the right people into office. But the other part is that there is a process called the coordination process where most communities, and I'm getting over a bad cold, so I'm kind of raspy tonight.
No problem.
The thing is that this coordination process is built into federal law, and local communities can actually confront the federal government on imposing those laws on their local citizens without demanding that the local community have an equal footing in how that's done. And it has been phenomenal. You probably heard of the North American Union that was bannered about a couple of years ago, and the Trans-Texas Highway and all that. Well, the coordination process was used in Texas by five little tiny communities, probably totaling no more than 5,000 people in total. $80 billion was targeted for this, and those little five communities were able to stop the construction of that highway.
Wow. Impressive. That's awesome.
So there are ways that you can do this, and this is explained in the book. It is a phenomenal book. The author always thinks it's phenomenal, but I'm getting nothing but rave reviews back from people that have read it, and it really explains what's happening, who is behind it, how did it happen, and how can we fix it?
Wow. Okay. So where can people go to get the book? Where can they find out more information about you and what you're working on, and et cetera?
Well, you can do it at Amazon.com, but you'll get a better break if you go to our website. It's rescuingamericabook.com, rescuingamericabook.com, and you can order it off of that. And if you type in the word radio, in the promo section is on the last page before you said, I want to pay for it with Visa or PayPal or whatever, you'll get a 30% discount, I think.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to have to go do that then. And, we're going to have you back for a longer segment to talk more about the book and what's in that. In fact, what I'll probably do is order the book this week, and then that'll give me some good questions to ask you, and we can discuss it and talk about that. But you're absolutely right. There is a problem here, significant problem. I saw this a few years ago. You may not know, I ran for Congress a couple years ago. Didn't win, and it was a real education for me, the whole process. I was grassroots, never done anything like this before kind of a guy. But my platform was the Constitution, and I said, if we don't get back to following the Constitution, we're going to be in some big, big trouble. And, of course, I had different things that we can do to get back to the structure of our government, and this was sort of one of my big themes, is we have a government that's structured a certain way. If we stay within that structure and follow it, then things will work the way they're intended to work. But when we start trying to build up this massive federal bureaucracy, the structure cannot support it. It will fall, it will fail, and it'll pull society down with it. And that's what we're seeing going on right now. So, wow. Well, that's fantastic. Now, look, we're going to have you back, and I realize it's a holiday weekend here. I really appreciate you calling in on this holiday weekend, taking your time. Normally, I have some other co-host and some other cohorts with me, and didn't know they just didn't show up today. That's okay. I'm always working, and glad that you were able to call in. But we will arrange to have you come back on, Doctor. And again, if you just tuned in, we're talking to Dr. Michael Kaufman, who wrote Rescuing a Broken America. He's also a scientist. We had a nice discussion about global warming. And, of course, it sounds like you also know something about Agenda 21, which I saw the word sustainability in these Occupy Wall Street drones talking about sustainability. And my question always is, what, are we not sustainable now? I mean, why are we not sustainable now? Tell me why we're not sustainable now. What's wrong with what we're doing now? I mean, there are a lot of things wrong with what we're doing, but if we were to get back to following the Constitution and reducing the size of the federal government, we're completely sustainable. So this is just the code word for socialism and UN control and part of the world order that I know sounds conspiratorial, but it's the fact. It's going on at the local level, and a lot of our local officials don't even realize what's being done to them, with money being thrown at them to do some of the things that you just talked about, and they're being duped into taking that money and trying to create, you know, I tell this to people whenever I hear somebody actually say sustainable. I'll say, you know, there were times where we had sustainable communities here in this country. They were called Indian tribes. And in the medieval times, there were little communities and, again, tribes, tribal groups, and very small organizations, villages. They were all totally sustainable. They had their own medicine man. They some of the people hunted. Some of the people maybe grew some crops, and they just kind of lived there. And I don't know. I don't really want to go back to that. I kind of like the life that I have now.
Well, they would like to. They would like to put us back to that, and that's the problem. Is that their ideas don't work. They literally don't work. And when I come back on sometime in the future, we can go into that in a great deal of depth, because it's truly a religion more than it is anything else. And if you understood what was driving it, you would just fall right off your chair.
Yeah. Well, and we say that all the time on this show. Liberals are driven by emotion and not have anything to do, or rarely anything to do, with actual concrete proof or proven
Absolutely.
Methods of achieving anything. They just have their, as you said, it's like a cult, a religion almost, that is chasing after some ideal that's never been proven, and they will do anything to reach it, anything whatsoever, and they don't care about the destruction they cause if they can achieve that, just as Saul Alinsky's book that we talk about all the time on the show is dedicated to the devil, because he was the first rebel, and he achieved his own kingdom. Well, wow, if that's what liberals are willing to accept, their own kingdom, hell, if that's such a great thing to brag about, then that's the mindset we're dealing with here, people that are basically nuts.
You're absolutely correct. In fact, there have been studies done way back in the 1800s. I know I'm running out of time here, but back in the 1800s, there were studies done on this emerging movement, which is now called progressivism, and they were basically saying they're nuts, they're insane, and they are. They don't have a full deck of cards, and we are basically being controlled by people who do not have any connection to reality whatsoever.
It's sad. It's scary, and that's why we've got to go back to what we know is proven and works. Well, this was great.
Absolutely.
You calling in. Again, I appreciate it. I know you're getting over a cold. It's a holiday weekend. But Dr. Michael Kaufman, I don't know why I want to keep calling you Kaufman. I think I had a friend in the Navy whose name was actually Michael Kaufman. I know a Kaufman as well. But in any case, Michael Kaufman, Rescuing a Broken America. Check out the book, Amazon.com, or also RescuingAmericaBook.com. Is that correct?
Yes.
Check that out. And thank you for joining us, and have a wonderful
thank you.
And we'll talk with our friend Dick Bierenbach to arrange to get you on the show again here in the future. Doctor,
that
thank you so much.
Great.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Well, that was a nice surprise having Dr. Kaufman call in. And let's get right on to the meat of the show here, and that is we were going to talk about the Wall Street Occupiers, modern day Animal Farm. Now, here's what I'm going to do. If you haven't read the book Animal Farm, go check it out. You can actually read it online, you know, different chapters of it, but it's about animals that basically take control of the farm. And one of the statements that they have a list of statements that guide their principles, but as some of the animals became corrupt and grabbed more power, those statements changed. But here are the statements. Whatever goes up on two legs is an enemy. Whatever goes on four legs or has wings is a friend. No animal shall wear clothes. No animal shall sleep in bed. No animal shall drink alcohol. No animal shall kill another animal. And here's the final one. All animals are equal. Now, eventually, this changed to all animals are equal except some are more equal. And that's what we're looking at today with these Occupy Wall Street drones. They don't have a coherent message. If you go to their website, you can go to their website, and I'm going to tell you where it's at so you can see for yourself, OccupyWallStreet.com, Occupy Wall, and then it's ST.com. They can't tell you what they want. Their website doesn't tell you what they want. There's nothing there. Now, you can go into the forums and see the chat. Oh, talk about the incoherence. I mean, you go to a Tea Party website, a 9/12 website, a Patriot website, and they're talking about aspects of the Constitution and our government. And there may be some disagreements, but in general, what they're trying to solidify is what's the best path forward for our government and how to minimize the intrusiveness of the federal government and maximize personal property and liberty rights. That's it. You look at these guys, they're talking from everything about communism to socialism to radicalism to anarchism. They can't agree on a single thing. Now, one of the things that the media has jumped on is a posting by one of the activists there, who I'm sure doesn't speak for everybody, but talks about some of their demands. He's got 13 demands. I don't think most of the people do. But I would say this. I've been to many Tea Party rallies. I've been to many Tea Party group meetings. I've been to many events that had lots of Tea Partiers there. In none of those places did I ever see Tea Partiers defecating in the streets, urinating in the streets, passing out condoms, engaging in sex in public, using racial slurs, etc. And yet you see that with these guys. Now, who is it that Nancy Pelosi thinks is the democratic process because they're just a spontaneous uprising, which is what the Tea Party was? But no, those were Nazi racists. But these people who are actually making racist statements and engaging in unlawful behavior in the areas that they're hanging out in, they're destroying and trashing. They smell. There's trash all over the place. No, they're just a democracy rising up and people that are just tired of being disenfranchised and all this stuff. So, yeah, you know precisely where the Democrat Party has gone when they side with these people. Let me tell you what some of their demands are. Let's see. Number one, restoration of the living wage. This demand can only be met by ending free trade, by reimposing trade tariffs on all imported goods entering America, leveling the playing field for domestic family farming. So they want isolationism for the most part. I mean, they're just going to crack down on any cheap products coming from anywhere else in the world. But let me jump ahead to another one that they have. Let's see. Basically open borders, that anybody and everybody can come into our country from anywhere, regardless of who they are, what they have, etc. So we want to stop free trade from coming across our borders, but we're going to let anybody and everybody just walk across and fly in and do whatever. Sounds like they might be bringing stuff with them, and they might be selling stuff, and that sounds like free trade to me. So these people are not smart. Number two, institute a universal single-payer healthcare system. Yeah, that's worked well everywhere else in the world. Name a country that's got it, and I can tell you why it's highly flawed and screwed up. And, of course, nobody's going to call in here because we've done shows on that, and I've gone through way, way too many items in the past. But a lot of it's based on what I learned from a good friend of mine, Dr. James DeJerome, who wrote the book The Cure for the American Healthcare Malady, Socialized Medicine. He called it the apple in the Garden of Eden. In other words, it doesn't exist. And he goes through the first half of his book explaining why socialized medicine in Europe, including Canada,
and some other countries is an absolute flop and detrimental to the health of its citizens, and yet how to fix our own healthcare system in a no-cost way that doesn't infringe on people's liberty and property rights. So, again, not too smart an individual or group of people. Let's see, demand 3, guaranteed living wage income regardless of employment. Oh, so no matter who you're working for, what you're doing. So the burger flipper is going to get paid just as much as me flying a 767 from Miami to Madrid. Well, that's fair. You know, I worked really, really hard my whole life to get to where I am. But, yeah, we'll let the burger flipper make just as much as me. You know, this is what we're asking for, what they're asking for is for them to be able to sit around and do nothing and yet get paid as much as anybody else. Now, this is where we go back to what I talked about earlier. This, not only this entitlement attitude, but the animal farm. We said some people, everybody's equal, just some are more equal. And this is what these Wall Street occupiers think they are, and that's why I said it's a modern-day animal farm. They actually think they're more equal than others, that they deserve what others have without having to earn it or work for it. I'm going to read to you from the Declaration of Independence. It's the second paragraph. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, here's the key part. This is the purpose for government. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers. Okay, the just power, the righteous power for any government is what? From the consent of the governed. And it's the purpose of government to secure the rights and privileges and liberty of the people. That's the only reason we form governments. Yes, tyrants form governments. Dictators form governments. Groups of people, revolutionaries form governments, like in Cuba and Venezuela and North Korea and on, China, to secure the blessings of liberty to the elitist, not to the people. But when we do it in a country like the United States of America, we do it to secure the blessings of liberty, as we say in our Constitution, to ourselves and our posterity, not just some of us. So that's why these Wall Street occupiers think that they deserve something that nobody else has gotten. They're a little more equal than the rest of us, and they deserve what we have at our expense, even though they haven't earned it. That's not so. Nancy Pelosi, I'd like to ask you, if these people are anti-Declaration of Independence, anti-Constitution, do you stand with them after taking an oath to defend it and to bear true faith and allegiance to it? Do you stand with these people who stand against the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence? Yes, you do, ma'am, and that makes you a traitor and a oath breaker and a despicable person. And so we've got a president that's done the same thing, a vice president, and many other Democrat leaders, and they're going to pay a price for this, for taking an oath to support and defend the Constitution and bear true faith and allegiance to it, and then stand with the group of people that are anti-Constitution and anti-liberty, anti-Declaration of Liberty, and that's who they are. So let's get back real quickly to the animal farm and see what those seven commandments degraded to. Eventually, they degraded to no animal shall sleep in a bed with sheets. Now, isn't this what the Democrat Party likes to do? Twist and turn, whether it be legislation or the Constitution, into something a little bit different, but never what was intended. The original commandment was, no animal shall sleep in a bed. And they just tagged on with sheets, so now they could sleep in sheets. Eventually, the pigs were walking upright in the animal farm. And the other animals eventually noticed they didn't look any more any different than the people, and they weren't acting any different than the people. Commandment number 2, no animal shall drink alcohol to excess. And finally, no animal shall kill any other animal. That was the 6th commandment. It turned into without cause, without cause. And, of course, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. These are the kind of people we're dealing with on the Wall Street occupiers. They have an entitlement. They want something that you have, and they want to take it without earning it. Now, when they talk about big corporations and Wall Street and on and on and on, let me ask you this. Have you ever worked for a poor person? And tax the rich. Well, I keep hearing these libtards say that the rich aren't paying their fair share and we need to increase their taxes. And then the other thing they keep saying, and this is the kicker that shows just how stupid they really are, they say that
the wealthy are paying less taxes, or let me back up, the wealthy's salaries have increased at a disproportionate rate compared to the middle class. Now, first of all, the wealthy don't get salaries. The rich, the wealthy, unless you're talking about really the new middle class or upper middle class, but the wealthy, wealthy millionaires and billionaires, well, it's now turned out to be almost 100,000 is what it is. If you look in the Obama jobs bill, the limits on deductions are going to kick in for people making 100,000. There are new millionaires and billionaires. Limits on the deductions. So closing those loopholes on millionaires and billionaires, we're actually closing them on people making 100,000. According to his jobs bill on page 35 of his 130-page jobs bill. So in any case, the wealthy don't have salaries because they're wealthy. They've got money. What do the wealthy do? They invest it. What are they invested in? Well, green technologies. Remember, one of the big investors in Solyndra was a fundraiser and buddy of the Obama administration, and he's a wealthy guy. And what did he do? He invested in Solyndra. But you know, we want to take that money away from those wealthy guys so they can invest in green jobs. No, we want them to invest in green jobs, except no, but we want to take their money. Well, which is it you losers want? The wealthy invest in all kinds of things. New businesses, old businesses, growing them, property. I mean, they invest in things. They invest, and their money makes the money, and they pay capital gains. They don't pay income tax on it because they've invested it. They're investing money that they already earned and paid income on. So this is a bunch of lies to say that the wealthy salaries are up. No, somebody like an airline pilot like me, yeah, my salary's up. I'm on the same pay scale I was on in 1992. Yeah, my salaries are up. They're lying to you. They're lying to you that the wealthy salaries are up. The wealthy don't get salaries. The wealthy are wealthy and have money, and they don't get salaries. They might pay themselves some insignificant salary to say that they're on, they're you know, listed as employees so they can qualify for health care in their company, et cetera. But the reality is they don't pay themselves salaries. They invest the money that they've already earned over the years. Okay, so that's the issue with these Wall Street dumbasses, and I'm going to say it, they're dumbasses. They aren't coherent. You can go to their website and see that they can't even tell you what they want. Go to any Tea Party, 912, Patriot Group, any kind of organization like that. I'm looking at one here that I have gotten some constitutions to pass out, the American Center for Law and Justice. Go check out their website. They're not talking about anarchy and destroying the Constitution. They don't have an incoherent message or no message at all. They have an absolute message about what they're trying to do, and it makes sense. Okay. So we'll be back on the show Wednesday, 7 p.m. Don't miss it. We'll have another discussion. I'll have my co-host and maybe some other cohorts with us to discuss some of these things, local stuff in the news. Maybe we'll have a few political jokes to go along with it on Wednesday, 7 p.m. Thanks for joining us today. This has been the American Hour with your host, Commander Tom Garcia. I've had fun, and I hope you have too. And we will see you Wednesday night, 7 p.m. All right, everybody. Have a good rest of the holiday weekend.
Listening to the American Hour with Commander Tom Garcia on the USA Talk Radio Network.